Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
I think we're on the air, man.
No.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
We're on the air.
Is it Tuesday?
Hey, welcome. It is Tuesday. Live. Tuesday night.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
Now, you jumped the gun
you
there.
You clowns are supposed to wait till I say, welcome to the Movies Hate You Show. I am the aforementioned Mr. Housechild.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
To my... Oh, hey. I was... Yeah. Get that checked, man. To my left is the venerable Mr. Ree, Lee Peterson, my Asian valet and manservant, and the man who puts the P in Peking.
I thought I put the King in Peking, no?
No. You have to start somewhere. You start with the P, and then you work up to the King. Right, what's wrong with you, man? What kind of thing is that? And on the boards tonight, Todd Sheets, as always.
The man, the powerful legend.
Dumb man.
Spinning the dials, dumb working man. The knobs.
Yeah, working his knobs, spinning the dials. Welcome back, Todd. Welcome back to the Movies Hate You Show.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Who you got for us tonight?
Who? I got nothing.
You got nothing,
I got
huh?
nothing.
Well, did I mention we are sponsored by Wild Eye Releasing?
You did not.
Todd, see? WildEyeReleasing.com. Your home for weird and eclectic films.
Now, what's eclectic mean? Is that it's bad, right? It's a bad thing?
If you said interesting, that would mean bad.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wide-ranging, far-reaching stuff.
Yeah. Right, eclectic.
Eclectic. Yeah. I love that word. That's one of those...
It's one of those great...
Clicks.
Yeah, it's one of those great words that could mean just about anything. You really don't have to explain yourself when you use that word.
And oddly enough, it's not misused. It's one of those words that's not like ironically, which is a fun word to say, but it's always misused.
It's misused and overplayed. Yes, absolutely. Literally. I think it's one of those words that I think certain people feel weird saying. It makes them feel pretentious to say it, so they don't say it.
Mm.
Yeah. Could be a lost word one day.
We don't care about feeling pretentious.
No,
you and I.
We don't.
No.
You know why? Because we're in the shadow of New York City here.
The big shadow.
The epicenter of pretentiousness.
Yeah, it's fixing to rain, too. It's going to rain.
Fixing to rain. I like that. Are you sure we're in New York?
A little southern.
Oh, I love that. We're in New York. Fixing to rain.
Reckon.
And also, do you hear the trucks keep driving by? It's political voting season here.
Yeah.
And these trucks keep driving by with the... Cruise for it reminds me of that scene in the Blues Brothers where they're driving through all the towns trying to get people to get to the show.
Yeah.
Tonight, the fabulous Blues Brothers. You remember that scene?
Sure.
It reminds me of that when I hear the. I mean, is that really effective in 2013 for your marketing to have somebody in a van driving around with a loudspeaker?
I think it's
that
very
you
effective.
Can't hear? Really?
I hear that stuff, and there's no way in hell I'll vote for that guy.
Right, but they're doing it so that you do vote for them.
Right. It doesn't have the effect that they. Maybe you want.
Right, but it's effective.
It is effective. It is effective.
Todd, do you have trucks that drive around in Kansas City with bullhorns?
That's a good question. I can't remember the last time that happened.
They drive around on bulls, don't they?
They just drive around on the bulls.
I think in this town they probably do.
Probably, like he doesn't know. He's separating himself from the riffraff of Kansas City, Missouri.
Well, he's in a recording studio 24/7, right?
He still has to go out and get a sandwich or something once in a while.
Don't they have delivery? Don't
yeah,
they
have he like, has to go to Best Buy to get his DVDs on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Speaking of Tuesdays, hey, you know what today is?
Tuesday.
Besides Tuesday.
June.
What dropped today? Todd, you know what dropped today.
Well, the other shoe?
Hansel and Gretel?
Black Sabbath. 13. Sucks. Black Sabbath 13 dropped today. The original Black Sabbath.
I actually heard a cut from that, and it's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good. I didn't like it.
Your opinion, Todd, is kind of like is like level two on this show.
No.
Like if Ree and I are our first tier response, you are second tier response because you seem to always dislike the things that we like, or at least
it's
me.
It's not true. It's not true.
Like
the
things that I dislike, like Escape from L.A.
Listen, you didn't listen to the whole album. I think you just heard that God is Dead song, probably.
Well, whatever one they were pitching with the video, yeah, that's the one I heard.
There's a video.
That was about the best song on the album, but my God, dude, it's not good. It's weird.
Mm. Yeah.
They ripped off their own songs. It's like they did a song that sounds just like Black Sabbath, that song. You know that on their first album, which is a fantastic song. They did a song just like it, only they called it something else. And Ozzy was singing so slow, I felt like I had to get a lasso and throw it down his throat to get the words out. It was very weird.
I've never heard somebody say that before.
Yeah.
He had to get a lasso to get the words out from Ozzy.
Huh. That's true. Well, I like that. I like that imagery.
I like that imagery, too.
Scared the hell out of me.
So is it 13 because it's their 13th studio album?
Or is it just an evil number?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an evil number. Yeah. They're unlucky 13. Yeah.
Your guess is as good as mine, dude.
Hey, well, listen. God bless them for keep Satan bless them.
Yeah.
They keep going. You know, if the Stones can do it, you know, if Big Country can get back together with the lead singer of the Alarm,
did they
for a U.S.
Really?
Tour? Yes,
because the Big Country
and they have a new album, and
they,
I think it's their 12th album. Yes, the lead singer of Big Country committed suicide a few years back. And now they have regrouped with. Some couple other people.
Well, that's crazy. That's the logical choice, the Alarm guy. Sure, I mean,
I think the Alarm's a much better band than Big Country. I don't get the Big Country thing. I don't, you know, the one-hit wonder band, as far as I'm concerned, it'd be like, maybe they're huge in Europe.
It was a sound. It was that bagpipe guitar sound that I think really hooked people.
It was bagpipes and guitar together?
I think so, or else it was a guitar simulating a bagpipe.
I don't know what it was.
Like bagpipes.
Yeah. I think it... I think there might have been bagpipes laid into the track. I don't know. I don't know. But as far as I can tell, maybe it's a European thing.
Now what other,
the Alarm was bigger than that. You know, the Alarm's great. Yeah, the Alarm's great.
Now what... was Big Country the only band that had their name in their hit single? You know what I'm saying? Their song was called In a Big Country.
Right.
They were called Big Country.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a good that's a good thing. Huh.
Todd, that's a good, can we get
trivia
on
question?
There?
Well, if you want to call up and answer that question, the phone number is 310-928-7857. Why come people don't call into the show? Is it that we're boring? Are we jerks? Are we just too smart and you fear going up against our intellect? Is that what it is?
Don't you have free minutes?
What is it? Don't you have free minutes? Doesn't anybody use the phone anymore other than texting and checking the weather? Huh?
Yeah.
You hear that? Hear that siren? I bet you they're chasing after the bullhorn car.
Yeah, I hope.
Yeah. So what do you got? What do you got?
Well,
you
I had, that's all I had.
That's to it. Okay. Well, then that was a good show. I appreciate it.
Black Sabbath. Yeah. Are we done?
I think that's it. Todd, do you have anything to add?
No.
I tried to get a guest tonight, but our guest couldn't. The guest was a secret guest. We had a secret mystery guest tonight.
Oh.
But he had another commitment.
Gotcha.
He couldn't make it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I do.
But
have
he promised to come on another.
Oh, so it's a he. We know it's a he.
It's a he. It's a mystery.
Mystery.
A mystery he. Like your mystery.
Yes.
He's
Mr.
He.
A Mr.
He. Right. I like that. Mr. He. Yeah. So what, you have a guest?
For next week.
For next week.
Next week. I'm not saying a word about it.
Okay.
Except stay tuned, folks.
Really?
Next week.
Yes. Mystery.
Mm-hmm. Mystery guest.
Mystery guest. Okay.
As soon as it's a 100% confirmed I will I'll let people know via Facebook.
Okay, so anyone I've told that they can come on next week, I have to bump them now. Because I did say, you know, to this mystery guest that perhaps you can come on, you know, next week. and then there's somebody else I want to have special guests on.
This is a get. This is what they call this is a get.
So you're saying that the guests that I've come up with are not gets?
Well, I don't know. They're gots.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really I don't take the fanboy approach to this. So when you say you got a get, that tells me you got a celebrity. I like to have my friends on.
I like to have
people in the business on.
It's someone with name recognition. I'll put it that way. Outside of the three.
Now, what about the? Yeah, aside from Todd Sheets, he's the only one with IMDb credits.
Some of your friends don't even recognize their own names.
Some of my friends, you know, like I said, I like to have people that are in the business.
Yeah, you know,
sometimes people who are halfway in. Some people that go out of the business. Some people that go back and forth in and out of the business. Maybe that's a hint for a mystery guest. But anyway. All right, so we'll keep next week open. Let's hope we don't revisit the Walking Dead debacle.
It's going to be a good show.
That ended well.
It's going to be a good show next week. I'll tell you that much.
I hope you'll tell me off air so that I can prep. You're not going to spring this on.
No, I'll tell you. I just don't want to. I don't want to drop a name and then.
Don't drop. No. We almost learned our lesson doing that.
There's no point.
Yeah, we almost learned our lesson doing that.
Show business. Anything can happen in show business.
You have to show. You have to not talk it. You have to show it.
Show the show.
It's show business.
Walk the walk. Talk the talk.
Now, I used to work for someone who said, like, we would do these. It was a creative endeavor, and then we would do, let's say, five versions of something, right? And then we would have a meeting, and we would pick one really good one. And then this kind of older person who was kind of delirious and not really understanding things would say, well, why don't we show them all the work we did? And we were like, well, these are the lesser ones. He's like, it's show business. We got to show them everything. I swear to God, this guy would say that. Even though we had this meeting to pinpoint what was the strongest one, hey, this is the one we'll go in and show and present this creative thing. Not going to say what it was. But then the person would say, it's show business. We have to show it to him.
Wow. Where's this guy now, I suppose?
He's probably dead. I mean, he was up there in age. He was from the old... He was like the vaudeville... You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was like the vaudeville to our YouTube.
This is how we used to do it.
Yeah, you show them everything. Yeah. You show them how much work you did. See, that concept is like, we worked so hard, we did 10 versions of this thing. When anyone in the business knows, that would only confuse a client. That would only make it worse. And the client will, 9 times out of 10, pick the absolute worst idea that you threw in at the last minute at 3 a.m. just to fill space and get your paycheck.
Mm-hmm. You don't show the whole contact sheet when you take, you know.
Right.
You pick out the two best photos.
The two best photos. Or maybe the 10 best.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you take 100 photos, you'd show the 10 best and let them pick from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't like them, then you've got 90 sitting on the side. You could kind of go through, what about this one? You know, you don't have to go back to the drawing board and do the work again. Why would you do that?
Or you could sell them to somebody else.
Well, he wasn't doing the work, so he didn't care.
Mm.
Anyway, it's a little piece of advice for you. Creative types.
Thank
out
you.
There.
I wish I'd written that down.
Show business.
Show business.
It. Show it all. Show it everything.
Yeah.
So I researched this. You had brought up this Will Smith bomb of a film.
After Earth.
After Earth.
After Earth.
After Earth. Is there a rap theme to that?
I hope so.
Like the Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
Intro. Remember Nightmare on My Street.
Sure.
Yeah. There you go. Sure. Like that would be a cool intro for that movie. Wouldn't it? Like Nightmare on My Planet.
Yeah.
He could redo it for 2013.
I'd like to see the Kenan and Kel version of, I don't know if you guys are into Nickelodeon, Kenan and Kel version of After Earth. That would be something to see.
After Earth. Yeah. That sounds racist, though. I don't know the way you're saying
that's
it.
That's the way Will says it. So I'm just.
Oh, does he?
He says Earth.
Earth?
Earth. E-R-F, I believe.
That's racist.
Like birthday.
Birth. But isn't that racist?
I don't know.
So is it a Scientology film?
You can say it however you want.
Is that what we said? We said it might be a Scientology film? Have you seen it?
I still haven't seen it.
Even though last week I said you and your son should go see it together, and your son agreed. He was sitting here, and you've kind of disappointed him.
It's busy. You know, school. You still have school.
You could watch it after school.
Mm.
Why don't you... I'll tell you what. Pirate Bay.
Mm.
Download a copy of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it with your son.
Is that legal? I didn't...
You can watch a movie with your son.
It's
there's nothing wrong with
theaters,
that.
Theaters, though, isn't it?
No, but I'm saying, like, if you can't get to a theater,
uh-huh. Oh, then it's okay.
Well,
to do that.
With Father's Day and everything, okay. I think you'll get a one-time pass from Hollywood. Oh. Yeah, it's kind of like if I said I only downloaded it to show my dying parent who couldn't get to the theater. I think, you know, Bruckheimer would be fine. Like, oh,
sure.
Of course,
sure.
Your mother was dying, you know. Yeah. Of course, you wanted to show her Pirates 3. I get it, man. Yeah. You know, he would be down with that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you if you were Bruckheimer?
Of course, it belongs to the world. You know,
once it's not his. Once he releases it, it belongs to everyone. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no copyright on that.
The Beatles songs. You know what? If I
own them.
If I hum,
I'm putting out a Beatles. Yeah, I'm putting out a Beatles album today. Yeah, I'm taking their songs and rearranging them and putting them out. Because they're mine. They belong to me. Right?
If you say so.
No, you said so. You said it belonged to everyone.
I think the music belongs to everyone. I don't think that necessarily the...
You mean emotionally. You're talking on spiritually it belongs to all of us.
Sure. I mean, I think if I, you know, if
just like your right to health care belongs to all of us. It's not something you physically have the paperwork on.
Your
right to liberty.
Not sure I see
that. Your freedom to pursue happiness belongs to everyone.
Let's say, you know,
the concept of the Beatles belongs to us.
We can sit here and we can discuss the Beatles as much as we want. We can talk in depth about their private lives, their public lives, anything we want to.
Well,
that's beyond the control of the Beatles.
Okay.
Now,
I think if we slandered a Beatle, we might be in some trouble or could possibly be in trouble if we were to come out and say, you know, well, Paul McCartney's clearly, you know, he just married a guy and he's, you know, he's clearly out of the closet. That didn't happen. But I'm saying if you said something outrageous that could hurt him, he could sue you for slander, couldn't he?
Sure. But I guess what I'm saying is
he's not, by the way, that I know of.
Not that I know. Todd, is that true? Do we know that?
I don't think Todd's a Beatles fan. He's more of a Black Sabbath guy.
I really like Paul McCartney.
You don't? Yeah.
I do.
You do.
Yeah. Figures you would.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Right. I take you as like a Ringo guy. Yeah, you're like Todd. I think Todd is like a Ringo guy for some reason. I don't know why.
No.
You're Todd, your films are like the Ringo Starr of B movies. You know that?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I don't know what I was. No, just the, you know, I'm. What belongs to the world isn't the physical, the notes that they put together.
Right.
Or a physical product that you can buy and sell, but everything else is. I can sing the song. I have the right. You can't control that. I can sing the song in my own home, to my friends, in school, whatever I want to.
Sure.
They don't have control over that.
Karaoke. But you could record it and then ask somebody for a dollar.
And sell that.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense. It's their intellectual property.
Well, I think I think
within a certain context,
the world, except for
legally.
Well, except for the trading of a physical object.
Right.
For instance, I could make a T-shirt that said the Beatles on it.
You could
sell it.
No, you couldn't sell it. You could make one for yourself.
Sure.
You could write the words "the Beatles" on your shirt and walk around with it,
which I do.
They couldn't really do. Or you could just write it on your chest. You don't even need a shirt, and then you can walk around.
Well, about tattoos? I mean, what about the issue of tattoos? I mean, let's say I wanted to get the Nike swoosh tattooed on my face. Is that legal? Should it be legal?
That's interesting. I wonder.
I
always wondered that.
Who owns that?
What if some? You know, I always wonder when I see people like, you know, you go to these horror conventions and it's all, you know, 90% of the people are all covered in tattoos of some sort. Some of them are very nice, and then you'll see somebody with a great Boris Karloff as Frankenstein on their you know, bicep, taking up the whole bicep. And I mean, it's to the. Just, it's like a carbon copy of like the press photo that Universal released when the film came out. To a T, the shadowing, the cheek structure, everything, the bolts are shining. It's wonderful. Now, Universal, couldn't they say, hey, that's our copyright. You're not allowed to wear that. Gotta step into the shop here and we're going to have, you know, Mr. Bruno in the back fix you up. And you're going to lose that skin. That's it. Could they say that? You're not selling the tattoo, but you paid someone to make that.
Mm-hmm.
So the tattoo artist would be the one who is committing the copyright infringement, mm-hmm. not you. You didn't know how it was going to turn out. You just said, here's a photo for reference. The stamp thing turned out to be identical to that press photo.
Well, I guess in a way you would be, though. I mean, in a way you're still culpable because you commissioned it. So if you're commissioning
right.
a work of art that's
right.
infringes upon somebody's rights.
All right, let me think. If I okay, so let's say I took a copy of After Earth mm-hmm. and I made a DVD of it today with a barcode on it and everything, and then went to a plant and said, please make me 1,000 of these, and they made 1,000 of them. And then I took them and sold them to a store, and the store sold them on the shelf, and then the cops busted them, and it trailed back. That they would sue the plant for making those, for not performing their due diligence in checking if I had the rights, even if I signed a thing that says, you know, yes, I have the rights to this. That's still within their, it's within their responsibility to investigate that claim if they feel suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So they would probably be named in the lawsuit, as would the retailer and the studio who did it. So why wouldn't a tattoo artist fall under the same? But I guess because that you're not going and selling that tattoo. It's a personal thing. You know, that like me saying, you know, here's a picture of Frankenstein, make me a mural for my, you know, wall in my house, painted on there. Is Universal going to come in your house and say, you can't have that mural in there?
Well, what if you take a photo of your tattoo and tweet it to your friends?
As long as, you know, I guess if it's not monetized.
Isn't a tweet monetized? And
I don't know. Maybe it is. But YouTube is. So if you were to, like, take a film of it and monetize mm-hmm. it and you got 15 cents from it, I guess Universal would want their cut of it.
Mm.
It's kind of weird, huh?
To me, that speaks to what's wrong with the whole concept, or why the concept of intellectual property maybe needs to be re-examined now that we've got a different, you know, we're living in a different world, you know, where media, where information can be disseminated so quickly and so cheaply. I don't know. I mean, intellectual property, that concept has always bugged me. It's always bugged me that someone could purchase something and it becomes their property, not the property of the person who created it. I mean, take a look at something like Creedence Clearwater Revival. John Fogerty doesn't own the rights to any of those songs. So if John Fogerty performs one of his own songs in public, he has to pay someone else to do that.
Right.
Intellectual property means someone bought it.
Yeah, and they own it now.
Right, and it's hard to feel sympathy, I guess, for somebody who just bought something, not the creator of something. I have sympathy certainly for a creator of something who's getting shafted.
Right.
But I mean, that's a good example of the Fogerty thing.
I wonder what, like, under what circumstances he sold those rights.
It was I don't know the exact story. I've heard the story. It was kind of a trick. It was an underhanded thing. I mean, he was young. I think they were all young, and the deal that was presented was not the deal that he walked away from with. I mean, I think he tried suing many times, or a couple of times, unsuccessfully. So, and the guy who owns the rights is a, you know, a lot of people think he's a big scumbag. So, it's hard to take his side in that situation.
Right.
So, just because Warner Brothers owns Batman, for instance, the intellectual property should belong to the person who created Batman.
Unless that person sold it. Unless that person sold it.
I suppose legally that's true.
Right. But, well, legally. I mean, that's if I sell you something, I'm walking away. You know, it's not up to you to decide. Well, you should retain some rights to it. Okay, if that's part of the deal, but I need that cash right now.
But calling it intellectual property.
Sold Batman, well, you know, who knew what Batman would become?
The people who bought it probably did, to some degree. I don't know. It's an interesting thing, I believe.
Well, it's interesting if you're not in the intellectual property business to speculate on this kind of stuff, but it's pretty clear legally that when you buy something or lease something or own something, it's yours. And people shouldn't steal it in any form or whatever you want.
Legally, yeah. I mean, but then, you know, I think we all have different... not everybody believes that just because something is legal or illegal that it's right or wrong.
Right.
So... saying something is legal doesn't end the conversation,
right?
Necessarily,
no.
I don't believe so. No. You can say something is legal, but right. Shouldn't be legal, and vice versa.
Okay.
So,
I don't know. I'm not trying to lose you. Well, no. It's just like if I own Batman, then you shouldn't be allowed to do a Batman movie.
Well, you know, should is
no. You can't do a Batman movie.
Legally, you can't.
If I own Batman, you can never do a Batman movie.
Right.
And if you do, I'll sue you out of existence.
Should, I don't know. I mean,
you can if you want to.
Fan films, yeah, that are
you can if
good.
You want to. Right.
I'm glad that happens.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No. That's
I think
cool.
that adds to the world. I think that adds to Batman. It adds to the mystique. It adds to.
Well, it depends on the context. You know, depends on the content.
Well, even if they're crappy, I mean, you don't have to watch them. But I think the idea that people are doing it is good.
The difference
good
is
thing.
Right. But then, I do a Batman fan film that makes $1 million. Well, Warner's going to want to come talk to you because it's their intellectual property that they've spent millions cultivating so that it can generate that kind of money. You've come in with no investment except what you've put into this little film using their intellectual property to make $1 million. So yes, you owe them money. Absolutely. It doesn't belong to everyone.
Well, yeah, no.
Go make your
legally,
own superhero.
You do owe them money legally.
Yeah, legally.
But I'm of the opinion...
No, in every way. It's also unethical.
No, I don't believe it's unethical.
Like, Todd should be paying, when he goes out in the suit and everything, he should be paying Warner Brothers a percentage.
No, I think that's a good example. I think...
It's a great example.
You know, you've got...
You can look at it two ways. If I was Warner Brothers, I see Todd, I say, that guy's out there... I love this guy. He's out there selling our brand. We're going to sell more DVDs and toys and all this kind of stuff because he's out there being Batman.
Mm-hmm.
We love it.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. I don't have to pay for this free advertising. Great. Go do it. Now, Todd goes and does this thing and then gets into a fist fight and punches a kid in the face, a little kid in the face or something, or he touches a kid or something bad happens. Something bad happens.
Allegedly.
No, something bad happens. Then what are the parents going to do? They're going to go sue Warner Brothers. So
people are smarter than that.
No, they're not.
They are. That happens
right,
all the time.
Right. There are no frivolous lawsuits ever.
No, no, no.
Right. People are smarter.
Every other week, there's a problem. We talked about the costume characters.
Yeah, the ones in Times Square and Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, you got Elmo or somebody doing something.
What? What was that?
Unfortunately, that was a sound clip that played on its own. We're okay.
Did you hear that? Was that 42nd Street Pete? Was that what Batman sounds like when he goes to the local buffet to open for the opening?
That'd be awesome.
Over there in Kansas City? Yeah. Yeah, son of a...
Batman.
All right, so yes, we're talking about these characters, and we're talking
about...
Yeah,
so when a guy dressed in a ratty Elmo costume does...
Doesn't matter if it's ratty or not, that's inconsequential.
Sesame Street, nobody thinks, I'm going to stop watching Sesame Street because of that guy.
But technically, they have a case.
I'm not saying they don't.
I'll find a lawyer in New York that'll take that case.
Find a lawyer, you can do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're talking right and wrong, we're talking ethics. Elmo transcends a copyright. The idea of Elmo, the idea of Santa Claus, the idea of Jesus, Batman, whatever, all these fictional characters.
No, you can't put them all together. Yeah, all these fictional characters.
You know,
there's no copyright on Santa or Jesus.
What if there was?
You can't.
What if there was?
Well, then there would be issues. There would be issues. And these are not my issues. I'm not saying I'm suing people. I'm saying there is a,
You seem to agree with it, though. No?
I have a difference of opinion on this subject, including the downloading of movies and stuff, because I have a business in which I'm trying to make money by selling intellectual property that I have leased and invested money in from a filmmaker in hopes to make enough money for me to live and to help that filmmaker live. So when somebody comes to me and says, I don't see a problem with downloading movies, blah, 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 then I'm always going to have a problem with that. I'm never going to just blindly agree with that because I think ethically you should be able to to do that. Even if personally I think it's okay, as a professional, I can't give up the ghost that easily. There has to be another way to make this stuff work.
Well, that's how you arrived at your opinion, but that's not to say that the two sides are divided by people who own intellectual property. They're all on one side, and the people who don't are all on the other. That's not true. There are lots of people in the business, Neil Young, for example, who's pro-download.
Different. Well, it's the same. It is different. It's the same argument as saying, hey, well, you know, listen, I'm going to download Batman. Warner Brothers is not going to feel the pain. Yeah, of course not. They're going to go on. They're going to make their millions of dollars. And Neil Young, yeah, he's already wealthy. He could go around and saying, yeah, take my music for free, blah, blah, blah. He can say it. He can afford to be that liberal about it.
Well, there are probably people who aren't famous. You know, I don't think you can discount different, all the argument.
Yeah, but it's different business structure. Here's the difference. Neil Young can give away all his music for free, and then he can go arrange a 36-city tour over the next, you know, 24 months and make $5 million in his pocket. That's the difference. I can't take a movie and say, everybody take download this movie for free. And then where am I going to do it with it? I'm going to take it on the road and ask people to pay $5, $10 in a theater to see the same movie they just watched for free, that I told them to watch for free? It's a different business model. Music and movies are completely different businesses. So there's no way to equate. It's easy. Musicians do say that because they have different streams of income. Now, if my business was selling T-shirts based on movies, then yeah, I'd give the movies away for free because I'm really making the money on the T-shirts. So what you're implying is that the movie business needs to turn into some other business so that the movies are just this ancillary kind of lure people in thing to what you're really selling, which is an experience with a celebrity or whatever it is. And that's why all these celebrity shows do so well, where people signing autographs, because that's the stuff you can't download. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that's not free. And that's why I think VHS has taken off, because you can't download a VHS. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's an item, it's an artifact that you can hang on, you know, put on your shelf. But the film itself on it is worthless. The tape, the plastic's worth more than the film.
Well, this is what I mean by intellectual property. I mean the idea. You sit down and you watch a movie. If you have a photographic memory, like I do, I suppose, mm-hmm. that movie's in your head. It's almost like you've downloaded that movie to your hard drive in your head. Yeah. Anything, if you want to remember scenes, if you want to talk about scenes, if you want to tell your friends, oh, word for word, here's how this scene played out, mm-hmm. that's no longer intellectual property. Okay?
No, so, it's your interpretation of it. Yeah.
Right, but yeah, what I'm saying is the movie itself is bigger than the shiny disc or the whatever physical product is there. The movie, Jaws, Universal, yes, technically owns Jaws.
Not technically, but they own it.
No, they don't own
they
Jaws.
They own the film Jaws.
Sorry, they don't. They own the rights to reproduce the film
and monetize it,
yes,
yeah, and that's not even reproduce it. They can VOD it. They can show it on a plane. They can show it on a boat. They can show it, you know, in other countries.
That's not the same thing as owning the movie.
Well, they don't own the physical. They also own the physical 35mm elements or whatever. Yeah. You know, but you're making it such a it's such a tricky argument you're trying to make, and you're just trying to backdoor. An argument that ends with it's okay to take it because once you play it, it belongs to everyone.
That's not where I was going with this, but that's...
But it sounds like it. So what is... Okay, so in other words, every time you've seen Jaws, whether, I don't know when you saw it first...
Opening night?
You saw it opening night when you were a kid.
Twice.
So they made money off of that. It was monetized. And then maybe you saw it on TV. Well, they got paid for that too. There's advertising on it. The station gave them money. And then maybe you saw it on DVD. Maybe you bought the DVD brand new.
Yeah.
So they made their money on that movie off you several times.
Probably two, three VHS
two, versions. Two, three VHS versions.
Definitely two DVD versions.
Right, exactly. So they've made, you know, they've made $300 off you, let's say, over the course of your lifetime on that one film.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong with that relationship? Now, if you can go, now if you come on the air here and you recite, you know, Robert Shaw's whole speech, and you try, you do it in an accent, and you blah blah. There's nothing wrong with that. I agree with you. There's nothing wrong with that.
But intellectually, who does that speech belong to? Is it John Milius? Is it?
No, we don't know that. We don't know.
We don't know exactly the contract. We don't know the contract. People who claim they wrote that.
Yeah, but that's not what. But intellectual property is not about. Well, you know, somebody came in and got paid $1,000 to write a scene, so they own a piece of it. No, they came in for $100. Like when somebody does a cover for me, I say, hey, do a DVD cover for me. You know, unless I make an arrangement with the artist, it's my art. I've commissioned it for me to use for that purpose, to market it. So it's what I own. So even if the filmmaker gets their film back, I own that cover, even though it's my interpretation of that film in market form. I own that. Because I paid for it. I commissioned it. It was my idea. I told the artist, put this here, move this here, use yellow, don't use red, blah, blah, blah. That's me. That's my creativity. I own that. But yet, it's a version of somebody else's creativity, which might have taken 10 people to create, blah, blah, blah. So it gets very complicated if you approach it with this kind of fairness and like, hey, you know, we're all part of it, man. But really, it comes down to who's signing the check. And who owns it?
I think that's a very limited way of looking at it.
Well, that's the way the business works,
and that's a very limited part of
right. Experience. But that's the way the business has right. worked. And the since
business
day one.
The business is a very small part of the world. The Jaws exists in a huge.
I understand
way
that it's,
that transcends Universal or whoever happens to own Universal right now. Who had absolutely nothing to do creatively with this movie.
Right.
At all.
Right.
All right? They're not the good guys and people who...
Why are they not the good guys?
They're not good or bad. They just happen to be the people who are changing... But
you wouldn't say they're bad people.
I don't know them.
No, but I'm saying, like, what does it matter? Why would that even come into question? They are the owners of the movie. Whether or not they screwed over Spielberg or whatever, that's their business. What do you care as the end user?
I don't care because I don't even think of Universal when I think of Jaws.
Right, exactly. Right.
So that's why I say technically they do own it. Technically. But there's no ownership of, they didn't create it. They really had no connection to it except buying it, that's all. So yes, technically they own it.
But technically...
Somebody buys, I don't know, what's an example of something that's not a creative endeavor that somebody could just...
That's purchase. What I'm wondering, like, trying to... I mean, it's a product. It's a piece of something.
If you want to look at it that way, it is. But well, I don't. You know, I don't.
Yeah, but that's a very naive approach to it.
It's not naive at all. I think...
It's a product.
No, that's naive.
It's a product.
I would say that's naive. I mean,
I'm not saying... No, I'm not saying it doesn't mean something emotionally to me and to millions of others. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying... The transaction, that's a product. That is something. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, they don't feel it's just a product because look at the love and care that goes into releasing it or it's restored or blah. They didn't just transfer the VHS and put that on Blu-ray and then tell you to buy it. So that would be careless and that would be somebody who just thought it was, oh, it's just a movie. They just want to watch the movie. They don't care about extras. They don't care about this. They don't care about restoring. So within that business... arrangement, there is a love in there, and there are people that they bring in who know what they're doing to put that love out there to the fans who love the film. So there is always, I'd say, you know, 80% of the time, there is love and respect given to all these things. So just because it is a business and it is a product doesn't mean all that stuff can't exist in there. You can't tell me that, you know, someone, even like a company like Blue Underground or, you know, someone who was dedicated to doing fan only type films. You can't tell me that he doesn't have a bottom business line and there's dollars and cents every day on the line. He's looking at numbers. You can't tell me that they're not doing that.
Of course, but that has nothing to do with the audience or the piece of work. Let's say the head of Universal decided, okay, I've been looking at the numbers here and we decided that we've this Jaws thing is oversaturated.
Mm.
Let's pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
Make it unavailable to the public for 10 years. Mm. We'll create an appetite for it.
Mm-hmm. Disney did that, yeah.
Disney used to do that,
mm-hmm.
And it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, people saw right through it. So then
it did work. I mean, they made Well, they make tons of money doing that.
But they make more money not doing it.
I'm sure you make more money.
It didn't work for their end game. It worked because anything would have worked.
Maybe.
Really, I mean, those movies are cash cows. So releasing them at any point will make money.
Right.
Their strategy was, but we're going to pretend that these are special events and they're going to be out for a limited time only. And it was all just they printed millions and millions of copies of these things, and there was no demand for them. Once they became quote unquote out of print, the price didn't go up because there were so many of them, and people knew there were plenty of them. It was really easy to get them, so their plan backfired. So let's say Universal did that with Jaws, and as of today, it's illegal to have a copy of Jaws because you know it's not being manufactured. It's the few copies that are out there will go.
The few. Well, there's more than a few.
What about that? If I sell a used copy, is that Universal? Why not?
No. Well, look what Xbox is doing now. You know, the restrictions on used games and stuff. Maybe this is all just a blob of a work in progress, you know, because these are not problems from 15, 20 years ago where it was like, oh my God, people are stealing my movie. I mean, bootlegging was, minimal. It was between hardcore fans. I mean, the average person on the street didn't click a button and watch a movie. I always say that. It's like people don't necessarily know that they're watching something on an illegal site. If I go and I was like, oh, I want to watch, Walking Dead. I go and I say, Walking Dead, all episodes, and free sites come up. I'll click on it, watch it. I'm not going to investigate. It's not my I don't have to have the due diligence of investigating that website to make sure they're legit so I can watch it. Part of that process.
Yeah. And the idea of legal or illegal hasn't been resolved yet. So calling Pirate Bay an illegal site is not true because it is not an illegal site.
Technically, it's not illegal. You're right. Well, just as technically it's exactly. Not a product. You know, legal, what was the other thing you said? Technically?
Well, if
you... Technically, they own it.
Technically, they own it, yeah.
Yeah. So technically, Pirate Bay is legal right now.
Exactly.
And technically, the people who technically own those things on there, there's nothing they can do about it. Technically
or not. I mean, it'll take a few years to see whether, I think the cat's out of the bag and it's not, these sites are not going to ever be found illegal. Some will because of the practices, but like BitTorrent, I think it was a very smart decision to set up BitTorrents because you're not downloading from a person or from one, so
right. But somebody said you're not downloading from a robot. I mean, somebody, it's not on Mars somewhere. I mean, obviously somebody set this up. I mean, these kind of clever little ways around the law is fine.
It is or it isn't. Whatever. I mean, legal is legal.
Well, this guy,
you're the one who says legal is legal. So
I'd say if I own something, I own it, and anybody who's profiting off of that should pay me some money or stop doing it.
But when I say technically legal. You're hearing that I'm hedging that by calling it technically.
You are.
But when you call Pirate Bay technically legal, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Because you don't want it to be legal.
Because you know in your heart
it's
wrong.
You don't want it to be legal, so
but
by
you
saying
know in your heart it's wrong.
I don't know.
You know, well, most people who have ethics would think that that's wrong. If you broke it down, I mean... You really don't care. Yeah, I mean, you obviously just don't care. Like, if I said to you, look, I'm your friend, you're on this show. If people don't stop downloading my films, I'm going to have to stop doing this. And I'm going to have to find some other way to eat. You don't care. You just don't care. You really don't.
Those are your words.
No, but then tell me I'm wrong. You could care less. Your idea is find another way. Couldn't care less. Go find another way to make money. That would be your answer.
Yeah. It's a bigger picture to me.
No, it's a yes or no thing. No, would you care if your friend was about to be kicked out on the street because of downloading?
That's a when did you stop beating your wife question.
No, it's not.
Like, would I care that you were kicked out on the street? Of course I would. Would I believe that it was because of downloading?
Or you wouldn't believe it. But if I told you that it was because I'm doing this and I showed you the numbers and how... It's all the evidence was there, let's say. Don't talk around the question. I'm saying what I'm trying to do is put a face on this issue.
I would say, Rob, it looks like you're in the wrong business.
Right, exactly. No. So that's what you would say to Warner Brothers.
That's not caring or not caring. That's being realistic.
Maybe you're right.
That's how it is.
Maybe you're right.
That's where we are.
Maybe this is the wrong business to be in. You could be totally right. I'm devil's advocate in this thing here. I'm not trying to say, oh, clearly you think, you want me to be on the street. I'm saying maybe that's right. Maybe this is the beginning of the end. Maybe we're in the middle of the end. Maybe it's over. But what I see down the line is a world with fewer films. I see a communist, I see a state-run film industry. I see 5 movies coming out a year, coming from a public trust of some sort, a PBS of some sort, and it's the same 5 movies all the time. I don't see a free market option anymore 10 years from now if we continue down this path. Or I see movies with ads in them, or weird, just one-offs. The system as we know it would be dead. Maybe that's right. Maybe that's fine. I don't. There won't be a Jaws. Maybe
I don't see it that way. I see. I think what's going to happen is your $200 million movies might be fewer and farther in between, which I don't think is a bad thing. Most of them are bad.
Yeah.
So the big studios are going to be maybe a little more selective in who they throw their money to. That's fine. I got no problem with that. Amateur movies, you've got the hardware and software is, cameras, video are becoming cheaper and cheaper and more easy. So anybody can really pick up a camcorder and make a movie now. That's great. That's a democratization of the process. That wasn't true 50 years ago. 50 years ago, when television started, they said exactly the same thing. It's the death of the movies. People aren't going to go see movies. Didn't happen. All right? Yeah. People stopped going to certain movies, and they had to restructure how they made movies. Maybe the movies were too expensive. Maybe they were throwing too much money to the studios were... They just had to restructure everything.
Mm.
World didn't end, didn't fall apart. There aren't fewer movies now. There aren't fewer good movies now. It's all about the same.
Mm.
The system changed then, changed when talkies came in, changed when television came in, changed when VCRs came in.
Cable.
And a cable. Of course, who was fighting against VCRs? Who was fighting? VHS could have been made illegal if Disney and Sony had convinced the Supreme Court. They didn't. Saner heads prevailed, and they said, no, you can't own this.
Mm.
That's what happened. Everything's fine. In 10 years, it's going to be exactly the same as it is now. There's going to be a couple of differences. Maybe Will Smith won't be making as many movies. Possibly.
Hey, one can hope.
But it's all good.
Well, it can very well be good. I think, but that's the... I'm looking at the apocalyptic. I'm looking at, because the... There are very few people, I think, who... And they're out there. There are very few people who make very good film. In order to make a very good film, you need a certain level of money. There are the odd films that are made in a room with a camcorder that are brilliant. Granted, that's the exception to the rule. So it does take some investment to make a good film and to make a film that we've become used to seeing with a certain level of production quality that would live up to. Like, in other words, if, this After Earth came out, but it was filmed in somebody's backyard, even with those actors, it just wouldn't have the same gravitas. Mm-hmm. So they're still going to need to be a certain amount of money invested in these films, these spectacle films, which we all enjoy and we always have since the beginning of film making, or any art, the spectacle of it is what attracts us. So I think that there will have to be money generated. It's not going to be a world of democratized, amateur filmmakers making movies. No one's going to watch that. We still want to see good films, and to make good films, you need some money.
You do, but. You've been on film sets. I've been on film sets.
Yeah.
There's so much waste
I'm not saying that's a whole totally different story. Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably where the belts are going to have to get tightened.
You're
going to have to stop.
You know. And also, here's the other thing. And I said this. I was at the Macabre Fair Film Festival in Long Island. I did a talk on distribution, and I see in the eyes of filmmakers, there are still a lot of filmmakers who do this, thinking that there's money involved in it,
mm-hmm.
and there is on that level. If you make a movie that Miramax wants, you won. But if you made a movie that a zombie movie that 300 people want to see, you're down here with the rest of us, and we're all fighting over the same crumbs. But the thing is, you might have made this movie. It might cost you $20,000. It's a lot of money to anyone, any mm-hmm. average working person. It's a lot of money. And then you get a studio that says, well, I'll give you 20% of the back end or something. You get nothing. People are still mentally thinking, I'm going to make it for 20, I'm going to get 40 for it, and then I'm going to go make another movie. It doesn't happen anymore on the independent level. It just doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't happen the way that you think it's happening. So the education has to change. People have to start thinking about it as, hey, I'm going to make a movie, and then that's going to get me a directing gig doing a commercial for 10 grand or something, like that. You have to start monetizing it in other ways, the way bands do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to make any money on the CD. Give away the download, give away the song, and we're going to make money on the t-shirts and the book or whatever we're going to do. So that's the way filmmakers have to start thinking. Plus, we're all fighting over, everybody's like, oh, VOD is the next thing, blah, blah, blah. People are downloading your movie for $1.99. Where 10 years ago they bought a DVD for $20.
Mm-hmm.
So there was more meat on the bone for everyone. Now, I got to give it to a distributor who gives it to an aggregator who gives it to a TV station, and somebody rents it for $1.99. By the time that gets back to me, I'm making 25 cents. And then I'm going to give, 15 cents to the filmmaker. So unless your movie gets downloaded a million times, which is not going to be because it's an indie film, it's a small budget film, there's no hope. If that's the future, then you're doomed.
Well, isn't the VOD price about the same as isn't like $10?
Depends. No,
for brand new stuff, isn't
that? For After Earth. Yeah, for big movies.
Even like independent stuff.
It's $3.99, $4.99, $5.99 if it's an IFC movie, $5.99, $6.99. But for the movies that we're putting low budget films, low budget horror films, low budget whatever. You're going to pay $1.99. You can watch it on YouTube, 99 cents, iTunes, 99, whatever. When that money trickles back to the filmmaker, it's even less. So there are more films being made, seemingly more outlets for films because of VOD. The brick and mortars are gone for the most part. But your market share is so much smaller now that it just can't – there's no growth factor there. A cable company doesn't say, hey, take it on VOD, we'll give you $1,000 or whatever. No, you get a back end. Oh, you made, in 6 months you made $400. Well, that's great for somebody who just spent $30,000 making a movie. It means nothing. Mm. It would take 20 years to get your money back. And guess what? That movie's already done. After 3 months, 6 months, it's done. Next, they want the newest stuff.
Well, isn't the idea, though, that eventually everybody's going to be doing VOD, therefore your potential audience is so much bigger than it could have been had you been striking prints and releasing them.
Oh God,
have, literally a billion people download.
You could have a billion people, if you had the right viral capacity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. You could have a big hit. I mean, mm-hmm. there are hits. There are movies that make a ton of money on VOD. Movies you never even heard of.
So it's basically the same thing. It's just moving into a different venue.
In a different venue, and it's still the beginning. It's still ground floor. It's still unproven. Physical still takes up a good percentage of the business.
Hmm.
It's not here, but yeah. So yeah, those numbers. This is still physical here.
61%
is still DVD and Blu-ray,
uh-huh.
And 39% is VOD.
And what was that 2 years ago?
15%. So now 39%. Yeah. So we're talking, there's a jump there. So about 40% of the market is VOD related,
mm-hmm.
whether that be cable, iTunes, Amazon on demand, the Made Voodoo, Netflix streaming, all those places.
Mm-hmm. And eventually theaters will be fewer and farther in between.
Absolutely.
It'll be a special
thing. Those will be event things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe they'll even incorporate the celebrities into it or something, like road showing or some kind of thing. We'll go back to vaudeville.
Yeah.
You know, go see a Vince Vaughn movie. Vince Vaughn is in right there. He shows up and he does a little song and dance for you.
That's the way it used to be. Open.
Yeah, I know. Right? I know. They used Bela Lugosi. Yeah. He would go introduce Dracula.
Yeah.
It's the way it should be.
Three Stooges.
Three Stooges would show up.
Your hometown.
Yeah. They should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't go to that? That'd be a line around the block.
Mm-hmm.
If you said, you know,
Will Smith is going to.
George Clooney's introducing his movie, or whoever, you know, like Matt Damon's going to be there, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Liberace movie, by the way?
Not yet. Not yet. I haven't watched very much.
What I found interesting was that his nickname, everyone called him Lee.
Lee, yeah.
And that's your name.
That is my name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fun?
I see where you're going with this.
No, I see the connection there.
I'm not a penis at all.
You, no?
I don't know.
I thought you liked to play the penis.
Penis? No.
No, the organ. The organ.
A little with the organ. You know, yeah. I suppose I touch the organ every now and then.
Just trying to change the subject because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I've had such a great time debating or
mass
kind of throwing this never-ending torrent debate with you. Todd, are we even still live? I mean, geez.
You've got like 2 minutes.
Oh, two minutes.
In 10 years, what are people going to think of these silly torrent debates? You're like, can you believe people actually debated this?
Why not? You know, got to work it out. Yeah. I think it's great to talk about it. I think it really is. It's good.
It's like a gay marriage. It's like in 10, 15 years, it's going to be... Seriously, people really debated this?
I wouldn't equate both. You know, I know I got you going with the Liberace comment, but I wouldn't equate gay marriage with the torrent debate.
No.
Not really.
Hmm.
No.
All right.
Yeah, I just don't see the connection there.
Do we have time to talk about gun control? We have a minute and a half?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we're going to save that for next time.
All right.
Yeah, for your special guest. Well, again, we'll ask your special guest about downloading.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a director or an actor, somebody in the business.
Well, you can assume.
Yeah.
It is someone in the business.
We'll ask them what they think about downloading their films. Their films for free. I'm going to tell them, I just downloaded your movie. And I watched it. I didn't pay for it. What do you think of that?
And what if they said, oh, that's great?
I'd be like, all right, cool. All right. So we know. It's doing like an informal poll. It's not... Maybe there's no right or wrong in this.
I think there's no... I mean, it just is. My whole thing is... You keep painting me as someone who says...
You're a thief.
This is right.
You're a thief.
To do this.
You're a thief. You're a criminal and a thief.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Everybody's a criminal.
I'm just joking.
But,
look how defensive he's getting. Todd, thank you very much.
It is. This is how it is. That's
passionate.
All. No, I mean, this is where we are now.
I know!
I know.
I'm living it. I see the numbers every month. You don't. So I know.
Okay, you will.
I don't win. I'm just telling you. Like, you talk to me as if I'm not doing this for a living or talking to people in the business all the time.
All I'm saying is when you paint me with this...
Because you come with this cavalier attitude, like, oh, it's no big deal, man.
It is what it is.
But that doesn't make it right. Because you don't...
Right or wrong.
Because it rolls off your back, it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. That's the point. Is that you do it with like this, you know, shit eating grin? You know?
I'm not a woman, but I have opinions about abortion. Abortion should be legal.
I
got no horse in the
race. Forget it. We're done. Movies Hate You's over. You're out. You're gone. Don't come back next week. Take your guest to your own show that your label represents, that your label sponsors. Oh, you don't have one. Oh, I guess you'll come back here then. Todd, thank you very much. Movies Hate You. Get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. That's it for us, man. Right? Anything, last words before you get fired?
I win!
Oh, God, what a nerd. Just like you do.
I could do it, I'd be doing it to you. I believe I'd buy whatever you would sell to me. Nothing in my life ever came with a guarantee. You're an ocean, you're an ocean. Settle down, settle down. What's the commotion? I'm an island, but you're an ocean. It's a stormy sea of love and emotion. Spend emotionless in time. I believe I'd buy whatever you would sell to me. Nothing in my life ever came with a guarantee. You're an ocean. Settle down, settle down. What's the commotion?